And for this discussion, we are joined by Professor Lebi Ramratan, who is a professor at School of Education at the University of KwaZulu-Natal. Prof, thanks for your time. Really appreciate it. Welcome to 702. Prof, are you with us? Let's try again, maybe third time lucky. Prof, are you with us?
Good morning, Thabo. Can you hear me now?
I can intermittently so, but let's try to fix your line. But at least you are on the line. I can pick that up. Hendrik Makeneta is education activist and director at the Foundation for Education and Social Justice Africa. Hendrik Makeneta, thanks for joining us. Welcome.
Thank you very much indeed. Let me also greet the listeners.
Thanks. Maybe let me start off with you, Hendrik, because the foundation that you are part of is very interested in this issue. And to what extent can these implications cripple South Africa's education?
Well, there is no doubt that the number of graduates in the field of education will be negatively impacted, in a sense that there are many students who come from poor communities who cannot afford the cost of higher education. And, you know, they were relying on these bursaries to help them to complete their dreams of becoming teachers in the country. And so, of course, any reduction in their budget will surely leave us with fewer graduates, especially those, as I said, who come from communities where they cannot be able to afford. And so that is a cause for concern, given the fact that there are a number of challenges that we face within the terrain of education already. Already we are sitting with classes that are overcrowded. This actually means we will continue with the same situation, particularly in township schools as well as some of the rural schools, where you find that the ratio of the teacher to the lecturer is to 50 or even more than 50. So if we don't produce a lot of teachers, then we may not be able to resolve the challenges that we face, most of which are also academic challenges.
And Prof. Lebi Ramratan, please give us a picture currently, because we know the Department of Education had expressed that there is a shortage, and by 2030 that shortage needs to have been dealt with. What is the status quo currently in our schools as far as teaching and teachers' shortage is concerned?
Well, at the moment there is the issue around employment of qualified teachers. There's a lot of qualified teachers that are unemployed as yet, and I think the Department of Basic Education has really rationalized that by saying there's a lack of funding to employ these teachers. In fact, you know, if you just look at the normal attrition of around 5 to 6% of teachers per annum, we would be requiring between 17 and 20,000 teachers a year. And institutions of higher education are producing approximately 16,000 teachers a year. So technically, there's a kind of a shortage of teachers being produced. And if we take away this instrument of the Funza Lushaka, it does create a big challenge in trying to recruit and maintain a steady supply of teachers in specific subject areas, because the Funza Lushaka bursary was first introduced as an instrument to recruit prospective teachers to, you know, respond to the subject specialization needs of the country.
And the actual sting will be felt in a classroom, won't it, Prof?
Yes, absolutely. So at the moment, the classes, instead of, you know, following the normal PPN ratio, the pupil-teacher ratio, they are far in excess of 50 students, learners per classroom. And this will increase if we don't continually employ teachers, newly qualified teachers. At the moment, there is a big challenge with Funza Lushaka uptake as well, because in terms of the this year alone, the target was about 13% of uptake of those teachers who qualified and have taken Funza Lushaka as a bursary. And that's a very low target for uptake of them to place them in schools, would suggest really there is a challenge of the department placing the students in schools.
And Hendrik Makeneta, as an activist in this space, what is the current climate of teachers who somehow feel overwhelmed? Classrooms and their pupils are more in a classroom. The workload is high, especially administratively. Give us a sense of the prevailing atmosphere amongst teachers, because this also doesn't spell good news for them.
Definitely, the majority of teachers are overwhelmed with having to go to class and teach this big number of learners. But at the same time, you know, they also have issues of, you know, administration, such as your paperwork and so on, marking in the process. And this actually impacts also negatively on the quality of work that the teachers are able to do, because if teachers have got more work, you know, are overworked, it means, you know, they may not be able to do justice to the issue of, you know, marking of scripts and so on and so forth, but also the assessments, the quality assessments that they are supposed to give to the learners. So we really need to address the issue of shortage of teachers in our schools with a view to ensuring that teachers are able to meet their deadlines. Again, if teachers have got more subjects that they teach in school level, it also means that they may not always be able to complete the work on time. Because even the whole issue of policies, there are policies, for example, teachers are given 3 days after exams to complete marking the scripts. But if the teacher has got an overcrowded classroom of more than 50 learners, and you find that in such a school there are 4 or 5 such classes, then it may not always be easy for them to complete the work on time. And that can impact on the ability of the district to do post moderations, because these scripts must be moderated as well to ensure that there is fairness and to ensure that learners are able to receive the marks that they deserve and so on. So this is a cause for concern. We think that government alone at this stage, we are aware they are not able to resolve this issue, but perhaps they need to collaborate with the private sector to make sure that we increase their capacity in terms of funding for our students at university level in order to produce quite a number of substantial teachers who can also be absorbed in the system.
Prof. Labi, according to the recent basic education Lokgotla that was held, reception grade 1, 2, and 3 had serious shortages, and this would be the foundation phase. And this is a phase that we are often complaining about, because when the learners get to grade 4, we are the first to complain that they cannot even read for meaning, and yet the problems are more complex than just a teacher standing in front of them in a classroom. They can be administrative and linked to policy as well. Does this lack of funding in the teacher training aspect going to somehow exacerbate this problem, particularly in that phase?
Absolutely, because remember, you know, firstly, the Vision 2030 really speaks about increasing the number of bursaries offered by Funza Lushaka to students to meet the specific demands of our schooling education system to provide quality education. The vision also says that, you know, we need to provide quality education even before grade one as well, which means that, you know, the emphasis on education is substantial. And if we don't provide the resources, especially teachers, to be able to take up their position to be able to offer these quality education at the foundation phase level, then our education system is going to really, you know, suffer the consequences of that. And Funza Lushaka is also geared to try and target teaching specializations in the foundation phase in the various indigenous languages, because that's where the challenges are that we are facing. We don't have sufficient qualified teachers to take the expansion of education before the foundation phase and in foundation phase. And we're going to find this problem in a really going out of control if we don't really address it immediately.
011-883-0702, 19 minutes after 10 o'clock. If you've just joined us, welcome. You're on 702. My name is Thabo Shola Mashao. I'm standing in for Clement. We're together till 12. In this particular segment, we are looking at the teacher shortage that may happen if these budget cuts are perpetuated. You know that the number of bursaries being awarded to student teachers has been somehow decreased. It used to be at 12,000. Now it is standing at 9,700, and this means that there will be a shortage on the output of qualified teachers and also within certain learning areas and subjects, if you will. Robotics and others will suffer quite a lot, and it could be that you're a teacher, it could be that you are intending on getting into the teaching profession. This may have a direct impact on you as someone who wants to be a teacher. You may not have an opportunity to benefit from Funza Lushaka Bursary Scheme. What are your thoughts? It could be that you are going to school tomorrow. Some schools are opening tomorrow and others are already open. What are your thoughts, especially as a parent, when this happens? What can we do? How do we lobby government to make right, especially on such a very important aspect of the country, arguably the most important department of them all. 011-883-0702. I don't say that lightly. I truly don't say that lightly. And I often mention the fact that these are topics that are not fashionable to discuss, but they hit at the core of every society. Unfashionable and unsexy as the topic may be, it really touches at the nerve of who we are as a society. We are facing an election on May the 29th, and prior to that, in between elections, we have to be alert on such issues. It is our responsibility, so that we don't wake up and complain about matric results that are not good. We don't complain about the so-called 30% pass rate when it suits us. We don't complain about kids not being able to read for meaning at grade 4 when it suits us. These are the issues that we need to be guarding jealously against and saying, no, you cannot do that, and writing letters and petitioning the department, parliament, the authorities, and saying, not in our name, this cannot be. We need more teachers, more qualified teachers, so that when we hold the teachers accountable, we know that we've done our bit. We know that we have been vigilant and active throughout, not just complain at the tail end of a problem as we often do. And I think this honestly, desperately so, needs our attention. It needs our focus. We need to really give it all the effort that we can, that the number of teachers, the output of teachers, will be affected by the reduction of funding. 011-883-0702. On Twitter at Radio 702, my handle at IamFreeTSM. Professor Lebby Ramratan is Professor at the School of Education at the University of KwaZulu-Natal. Hendrik Makeneta, also a teacher, education activist, and director, Foundation for Education and Social Justice in Africa. These are my guests, and we are discussing this very, very important issue. 072-702-1702. Mr. Makeneta, coming back to you, and I understand that you've got the flavor of the ground, you have interaction with the learners and fellow teachers, where you work. To what extent does a qualified teacher make a difference in a classroom? And I'm asking this deliberately, by the way, because there ought to be a difference between a teacher who is not qualified, and we do have many of those in the system, and someone who is trained and has gone through tertiary rigorous training and is produced at the end, and practicals would then subsequently follow. So the emphasis on a qualified teacher, what difference does it make on a learner behind the desk?
Well, thank you very much indeed for that question. It really, you know, there's a huge difference between a qualified education practitioner and someone who's not qualified, because of the curriculum that is offered at a wide range of universities, you know, there are quite a number of, you know, programs that they are intensively, teachers have to go through. You know, there are many of them. Amongst others, issues of education law as well is taught at university, where teachers have to know more about a wide range of legal consequences for not taking care of the learners in terms of the duty of care. That in the absence of, firstly, in the absence of the teacher or the parent, in fact, the absence of the parent at school level automatically means that a teacher is a parent. So hence, they must be able to exercise that duty of care. That's the first thing. But of course, the methodology as well, wherein teachers are taken through the content, various ways of presenting, you know, a lesson to learners, a wide range of methods that can be used depending on the type of the subject, of course. So someone who is qualified has got a lot to offer to the learners than someone who isn't qualified. And that is why if you check also some time ago, there was a complaint about the fact that learners in grade 4 to grade 7 are not able to read for meaning. In fact, grade 4 to 6. That is the biggest challenge, because in most of our primary schools, you do find that there are unqualified teachers there who are not able to teach higher order comprehension skills. Hence, the levels of assessments demonstrate that we do have a problem at that level. And, you know, problems can be many, you know, if a teacher is not qualified.
Prof, you train these teachers. The School of Education makes sure that on the other end, we have trained individuals who understand the classroom setup quite well, the learner mindset, and also the content of the subject efficiently. And what has been the success of Funza Lushaka in the past few years? Maybe take us through that. What kind of students have gone through your hands, and what has the bursary scheme, what has it been able to do and deliver thus far?
Yeah, I think, look, we haven't done any tracer study in recent times to understand where they are, what they're doing and so forth. But we are quite confident about the training that they receive at our universities. As the gentleman spoke just now, you know, the kinds of knowledge that one needs to become a teacher is beyond just the content knowledge. In fact, the minimum requirements for teacher education qualifications specify the six knowledge areas in which the student teachers need to be qualified in and become experts in before they are. Taking cognizance of the diversity of the learning context as the learners that we receive in our classroom, all of these things are featured into the curriculum design for developing a teacher. The use of technologies, increasingly, you know, we've been exposed to new technologies. All of these things form part of the training and development to become a responsive teacher that will be able to respond to the needs of the schools. But we haven't had much complaints from schools about the quality of our teachers. Yes, we probably receive, you know, critiques about when, in fact, our teachers that are produced do, in fact, teach the subjects that they are specialized in. And this is, again, an issue around deployment within the school context and how employment of teachers take place. But the quality of them emerging from universities is quite good. And we're quite proud to say that, you know, we produce quality teachers.
Apologies for that, Prof. Before we go to the news, I just wanted to ask you and Hendrik, maybe starting with you, Prof. Ideally, how many teachers should we be training annually in order to meet the needs of the South African education classroom?
Just based on teacher attrition figures of 5 to 6%, we need approximately 20,000 teachers per year. Remember, we have about 460,000 teachers that are employed in the system, in the public education system. That excludes the private education system.
And Hendrik, from your side, as an activist and as the foundation and a teacher yourself, do you feel that this will truly somehow hamper the work that has gone into the education space and the impact on the morale of your colleagues?
Definitely. It will definitely impact negatively, as I've indicated. We do need the workforce. We need capacity on the ground for teachers to be able to do quality work. Because if there are few and dealing with classes that are not up to scratch in terms of the ratio, then it means that we will not be able to assist all our learners. Remember, Thabo, some of these learners are not the same. Learners are not the same. There might be learners who really, even beyond the teaching in classroom in terms of the tutor, they do, you know, a one-on-one engagement. So if we have continued to have many learners in terms of overcrowding and fewer teachers, it means that the teacher may not be able to reach out to all the learners, including those who might be struggling with the academic content.
Sure. Hendrik and Prof, really appreciate it. I really appreciate your time, and I'm hoping that we'll chat about these issues further in the near future. Professor Lebi Ramratan, Professor at the School of Education at the University of KwaZulu-Natal, Hendrik Makianeta, Education Activist and Director, Foundation for Education and Social Justice Africa.
Because this journey is better taken together.
Let's walk the talk. 702.
11883-0702. Welcome back. And if you've just joined us, we are on the second hour of the show. I'm Thabo Shole Mashau, and I'm standing in for Clement. We're together till 12. We're talking about the budget cuts for student teachers, how they will affect the state of education in South Africa. Some will then ask that state of education has already been limping, so we are just taking off another leg completely by reducing this budget. At least the Department of Education and Cabinet approved this cut, and which was extremely important for a bursary scheme known as Funza Lushaka. The Professor Luiso, who is the Dean of Education at the faculty, the Education Faculty at the University of Free State, said that this scheme, the Funza Lushaka scheme, was the only funding scheme that the government had created to direct students towards scarce skills subjects in teacher education. Now that it's also being crippled, we are going to face serious shortages of skilled teachers in robotics, foundation phase, indigenous languages, maths, science, technology, and this points to a need for more, not reduction of some. I know you've sent some voice notes. 011-830702. That's where you can give us a call to comment. But for your voice notes, 072-702-1702.
Good morning, Tom and the team. You know, this is actually sad for the country that you've got a shortage of teachers. Not so long ago, it's still a shortage of doctors. And unfortunately, all these who people who are suffering is those who are the very bottom of the food chains. Those numbers in class keeps on going high and high. The kids get not so good quality education. It's really sad for our country. Our basics have been forgotten. I'll be here in Johannesburg. Thank you.
I couldn't agree more. I really couldn't agree more. And I'm just thinking that the ultimate victim will be that child from a township, that child from a peri-urban area, that child from a rural place, who is most likely to be a casualty of this more than those who can afford private education or semi-private education schools to that extent. At the end, it is really at the people at the bottom of the economic rung of this country who are going to feel the pinch. Then we are going to say there's no transformation. And whilst we know that we're not investing in that transformation, we'll complain about skills. But instead of investing in those skills, we are taking away from that. I think it's a very, very important issue. Someone who knows more about this than I could ever do is Basil Manuel, Executive Director, National Professional Teachers Organization of South Africa. Basil, thanks for your time. Welcome to 702.
Thank you, Thabo.
Your initial reaction when you saw this, what does this mean for us?
Thabo, certainly, we expected, given that there's a financial crisis and all budgets have been impacted on, etc. And however, it doesn't take away from the fact that it is, in fact, a major blow. It is, in fact, sad that we are doing this. But to put it into perspective, the smaller number of teachers is trained via bursaries through Funza Lushaka. A greater number go through the NSFAS. And that, I suppose, helps a little bit. But, you know, Thabo, you mentioned it a minute ago, that our issue is not the number of teachers at the moment. When you look at the number of people we have that are trained as teachers and you look at the number of vacancies, etc., we are matching up. But that's the wrong way to look at it, because a teacher is not just simply a teacher. You are a specialist in certain areas, etc. You mentioned coding and robotics. It's a new area. We've got to develop that area. But the bigger crisis at the moment is the foundation phase, where there are thousands of teachers who haven't trained in the foundation phase teaching there. Now, they are good people trying their very best. But there are two problems with it. Number one, they have to be retrained, and that is not happening. Number two, of course there will be deficits. We complain about reading, and there's this problem. So we need to be more directed with these bursaries. That is what NAPTOSA has called for. We were shocked to see that there will be a reduction, but what we do certainly need is more coding, robotics, maths, science, and foundation phase teachers. And then the big one, the really, really big one, is our indigenous languages. We want to promote mother tongue instruction. To do that, we have to train people.
I'm going to come back to you on that one, Basil, because you've raised a number of significant issues. But first, let me just go to our calls. Mapule is calling us from Boksburg. Good morning, Mapule.
Good morning, sir.
Welcome. I understand you're an unemployed teacher.
Yes. You know, I feel it's not fair for us who didn't go to study via this Bazaar Lushaka. Because from my side, I paid for my fees. I was working part-time and then I was a student part-time. It was not easy for me. Mm. It's 3 years now. Every time you apply, and sometimes I'll go to the schools door-to-door, you will be told you are not a preference. We will just take your CV, but you are not a preference. The preferences are those who went to school via the bursary. Mm. And then you will be told you have to be on the database. I'm also on the database. Now it's the third year. They're looking for foundation teachers. They are not. We are there, those who are not bursary holders, but they are not employing us. It's not fair for us, really. It's not fair.
And have you responded to the advertised posts for teachers?
A lot.
And you're still unemployed, Mapule?
Yes, I'm unemployed.
Yeah, you said you're in Boksburg, ne?
I'm in Boksburg, Eastrand, Ekurhuleni area.
Go ahead, Mapule. I interrupted you.
I'm in the database. As they say, we are required to be in the database. I'm in the database, and I did the door-to-door. I applied online. I'm still doing sometimes the nearest school. I'm going there to help us out with homeworks at times. So it's not fair for us, really.
Very, very important point, Mapule. Hang 10, Mapule. Maybe I'm hoping that someone from the Department of Education will give us a call who's listening and respond positively to this very important call to action. Mapule is out there, unemployed teacher, and she helps out every now and then. She took herself to school. She paid for her own studies, but she complains that every time she's told about those who have come through Funza Lushaka Bursary scheme, the ones who are given a preference. A very interesting issue there. Perhaps someone from the Department of Education, especially in Gauteng, if you are listening, please give us a shout. Maybe we can come to Mapule's rescue. Basil, let's come back to the issues that you have raised.
Can I just respond to Mapule for a second?
Yeah, go ahead.
She's correct. That was the practice. Late last year, a circular was released to say it's discriminatory. It can't be done. So nobody can have a bursary holder jump ahead of somebody who battled and paid for themselves. There is a circular to that effect, and she can call any NAPTOSA office and we'll send it to her.
I'm sure that would help, especially when she's met with those responses. It would go a long
Absolutely.
Way if she does that. We'll make sure that we link Mapule to the NAPTOSA office. But more importantly, please, I know Steve Mabona and people in the education department in Gauteng are always very quick to call us to order when we get one little thing wrong. But in this instance, there's an opportunity, Steve Mabona, to call for something that would help someone get employed. 011-883-0702. Bezal, you touched on the importance of mother tongue languages. You touched on the importance of foundation phase teachers and their critical role. For people outside the education fraternity, such as myself, we would be wondering why. And it would, dare I say, seem somehow insignificant, because whenever we're thinking about primary school, we're thinking all they do is sit down, look at colors, and just read and small things and count from 1 to 10. But please, I want you to delve into the importance of those two important aspects, foundation phase and mother tongue languages.
Let me start with foundation phase. Thabo, it's common cause that you've got to get the foundation right. And that to teach something like reading is an expert thing. Not everybody can teach reading. They may think that they can read and thus you can teach it. Not true. And of course, your foundation phase teacher is trained in the developmental levels of the of children going from grade R, even pre-grade R, right up to grade 3. So the importance of having people who are trained, who are knowledgeable, and who can convey this cannot be argued against. And hence we want to see even people who've come in without the requisite qualification, but they are teachers, that they be retrained to assist them in doing the job better in the foundation phase. The second issue about mother tongue instruction, it is a worldwide standard that children must learn in their mother tongue first before transitioning to another tongue. That has not been the experience in South Africa, except for English and Afrikaans. And there is now growing recognition that even that transition, which in South Africa traditionally has been from grade 3 to grade 4, may be too early. And experts tell us that a child who has mastered their mother tongue adapts to a new language much easier and better and understands conceptual things, etc. So today there's a big drive, and I'm so happy that there are so many people sitting up and looking around, and the department has embraced a program to say, let us explore this deeper and faster so that we don't complain about pass marks. Yet our children first come into school and they have no clue what this person in front is saying. It takes them a long time before they can actually understand. And that is the thrust of this issue.
702 Podcast
on PrimeMediaPlus.com.
And this conversation will also be podcast. Simply go to PrimeMediaPlus.com or the Prime Media Plus app, where you'll be able to get all and everything else that we have been talking about. 12 minutes to 11 o'clock. Welcome to it. Let's take some of your voice notes on 072-702-1702.
Good day, Thabo. My name is Kifilo from Pretoria. I qualified as a teacher since 2018. And then after practicals, I started looking for a job. I also decided to further my studies to do honors. And so I'm still unemployed. I'm at home. I've been going to the district education here in town, Pretoria. Nothing is happening. They will send you to schools. When you go to schools, the principals will take the people that they know. And there's only one interview that I have attended. And I was competing with people who have 5 years experience. Yet I do not have experience, but I am qualified to teach in high school.
Morning, Thabo, and your 702 listeners. Bafana here, Thabo. I hear this argument about the reduction of training of teachers, but you see, from where I am now, I know at least 11 trained, qualified teachers with degrees who have been employed for over 7 years. So what is the point exactly of producing these teachers? They will just be sitting. Some of them have even gone to Korea and some other places because they've struggled so much to get placement here. So what is the point, really? I think this is a... It's just an alarm for, I don't know. But for me, there's far too many unemployed teachers anyway.
Listen, and I think that is valid. That is valid because it is lived experiences of many unemployed teachers out there. And I'm not going to pour cold water on that at all. I'm not going to dismiss it or minimize your contribution. It's very valid. And Basil, a number of unemployed teachers are asking that, like, that Thabo, you are concerned about the reduction of the budgets, but generally, South African teachers are truly unemployed. Maybe share with us, Basil, as NAPTOSA, some of the activities that we might not know of that you have within the union of encouraging employment of South African teachers, qualified teachers, and making sure that the system absorbs, because we always hear about the need, yet there are so many outside looking inside and they feel as though they are isolated and ostracized from the system.
Thabo, I hope to talk to two groups of people, those aspiring to be teachers and those who are already trained. If you are aspiring, please check out where the needs exist. Because if you are training in an area where there's an oversupply, you are going to have difficulty. But these folk that are not employed, they are posts. Now, we are told, and this is research by Stellenbosch University, that 65% of everybody trained eventually gets a post in a public school. Mm-hmm. Then, of course, a certain other percentage get in private schools or as governing body paid teachers, and a percentage leaves the country. So, in fact, the absorption rate is quite high. And one of the biggest problems with the two people that spoke is, in fact, the fact that there are no vacancy lists published in provinces. The Western Cape has been the best at publishing post level one, that is entry level posts, vacancy lists. The other provinces rely on schools bringing somebody in. After a while, the person gets converted to permanent. Now, unless you are on the inside, as the young lady spoke, said, the one who did honors, unless you're on the inside, you're not going to be recognized as somebody to draw in. And that's where the unfairness comes. So we've been advocating for absorption to happen, yes, but also that with fixed periods, we have vacancy lists being published. We need to see that happen. That is the only way the person out there who studied on their own, who doesn't have access into a school, will get the opportunity to apply and compete evenly.
And others would point to a problem of the overreaching hand of unions in our classrooms, in our schools, especially where appointments are made. We do know that there are unions that have an overreach, that have an undue influence on various processes. Beforehand, there would be those who are picked even before they attend any interview. Positions are traded amongst those particular unions. And that is somehow worrisome, and that speaks to the role of unions amongst teachers. Are you unable to speak as one voice to make sure that at least the profession is preserved for the benefit of those who truly love it?
Thabo, let me put it this way. We are aware and we get reports of incidences like these, and we have to report those type of people because they sully the entire profession. I can say without any fear of contradiction that all the teacher unions in the country at the moment have agreed that we must strive to reprofessionalize the service of education. where integrity is right at the top. So insofar as leadership is concerned, we have all subscribed to that. Now we've got to let it filter down and everybody else needs to follow suit. We cannot have any profession, whether it is it's education or anything else, being infiltrated by buddies and being populated by buddies. Those are the schools that present us with problems. Those are the principals who are not ready for their jobs, that fail at doing their jobs because you are promoting the wrong people. So we as unions have agreed this is our clarion call and we've got to work at it. It's not easy because there's an established practice in some areas and there are people even in the department that do this. But the message is getting through from the unions that we have to professionalize and we've got to be ethical. There's no excuse for anything else.
Basil Manuel, I mean, the dynamic within our schools is also very interesting. On one end, you do have established teachers, I don't want to say old, but who've been there for quite some time, and they may not necessarily be affair with a number of changes that have happened rapidly, as you would know far better than me, from OBE to where we are right now. And for some reason, they could be seen as not relevant for a current cohort of learners in South African schools right now. How do you sensitively, with fragility that it requires, manage those dynamics? Because some have not even improved their qualifications and they're somehow left behind with those who are new and entering the teaching fraternity with new qualifications, new training.
I suppose, Tabo, your job is to ask the uncomfortable questions.
Amongst others.
But Tabo, there are two sides to the coin. Mm. Our older teachers have vast experience, and especially things that don't change, like how you manage children, how you deal with those soft skills. And our younger teachers can learn an enormous amount from them. But yes, of course, as the young teacher comes in and has deficits in terms of those things, the older teacher will have deficits in terms of some of the new things if they haven't upgraded themselves, particularly when it comes to the youngster that is so tech savvy, that knows so much more and has so many other experiences, maybe not lived experiences, but has experienced via the internet and so on. And those present a real challenge. But they're not ours only. It's throughout the world. Now, you can't simply send people out to pasture because you actually need them for other reasons.
Sure.
But it is the school who has to manage that a little more acutely. You can't take a person who has not upgraded themselves, who hasn't looked at a social media and say, I want you to go on a course for coding and robotics. What are you then doing? All you're doing is you're punishing the person, but you are failing the school.
Sure. Yeah, definitely.
So there has to be some sensitivity.
Yeah.
The young will always be with us, but so too will the older ones.
Sure. Basil, I can speak to you for hours and hours on end. Unfortunately, we do have other shows other than this one. So I must say thanks to you for a very interesting discussion. Let's chat again in the near future. Basil Manuel, Executive Director, National Professional Teachers Organization of South Africa.